All right, there we go. Got your dramatic intro. We got it in. Good morning once again, and welcome. If I missed you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC. I am excited to be engaging November with you. Can you believe it? We're at November. If you're feeling a little better rested today, today's time change day. I know some of you are finding this out right now for the first time. You got an extra hour of sleep last night, and your phone just adjusted with you. And so, yeah, today's time change day. Welcome. There you go. And so now we're all messed up for the rest of the week. And I start wondering which hour was it normally. And so, yeah, we'll eventually get there. And speaking of parenting, you know, theoretically, this is the good time change. And my kids always knew just somehow to mess it up. And I would think, okay, we're going to get one extra hour of sleep this morning, and they would wake up earlier. And so for the parents, I feel you. We try our best, and then we make it through. Well, I am excited about the month, not because of the time change. That will be weird. But we're launching into a season. We do this every year where we are launching a season of giving. Last week, we had the privilege of a New City Kids director, Damaris, came and shared with us. And so each fall, we start to give to New City Kids, an amazing after-school organization. And they're going to be sharing with us. We're going to be sharing about them more throughout the month. And they're going to be joining us in December. Our goal this year, we set this goal every time, is to give $5,000. And last year we set that and we gave $11,000. And God has used that in an incredibly impactful way. And so we want to continue to learn and to be generous. And so this is a really important topic. And so I want to launch over the next 4 weeks talking about how important being generous is. And so, you know, you might say, well, especially if you're first time here, we're going to talk about generosity. Yes, it's really important, and it has way more to do than just money. And it's an important part of our lives. But as we see, God directs our hearts. And if we understand how crucial that connection is, it can be life-changing for you and for other people. Because being generous is not just about our money. It's about our time, it's about our hearts, how we love one another. And I have loved how generous our church is. And many of you give consistently, you give every year, you give every week in big and small ways, and it's incredibly impactful. We've now celebrated 10 years as a church family, and we would not be here without you being generous. We have a legacy of hundreds and hundreds of people who have gone before us with their time, sacrificially, with their love for one another, and with money. And so many of you are incredibly generous. And it's a privilege as a pastor to be part of that with you. It's humbling. Honestly, it's humbling. And so I know that not everybody can be incredibly generous. I think some of you are warming up to that idea. You like the idea of it, but maybe aren't quite there yet. I want to believe that many of you desire to be generous, but then there are things that get in the way. We say, like, well, the economy is always uncertain. Inflation is a thing, and many of you are in finance, and you are very well of this, well aware of this. Perhaps you might be like, if I had a higher income, then I'd be able to be generous. Or maybe a bigger bank balance. Some of you are like, I would just like to have a bank balance. Then I could actually think about it. Then you could be. But maybe you might be like, well, if I had less debt, when I get that paid off, then I can begin to take these steps. Maybe you're just looking for a little more certainty. Good luck with that. We've all been searching for certainty in some kind of way, and our jobs in search of certainty have just found a way to make it more uncertain for us. Isn't that interesting? But I get all of these things because I think about all of these myself. And so today I just want to begin to challenge our hearts, to begin to look at the roots of how we live this way. And so we could experience where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and making that a way of life, not just in the fall season going into Thanksgiving and Christmas, but really every day of your life. And so we want to look at Jesus' words today and the teaching of others. And one interesting thing is John told us this. This is found in John 21:25. Like, we have four written accounts of Jesus' life, and he says Jesus did many other things as well beyond what we've written. He says, if it was all written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. And now we've got terabyte hard drives to do that, but they did not. And it speaks of how much more that Jesus did and taught them. And there's one place where this came out for just a little bit. And we know that, like, the early church was passing around these teachings of Christ and the things that he said. And so we see Paul talking about this. This is found in Acts 20:35, where he says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" Have you ever heard that statement before? Blessed is kind of a churchy word that's kind of come through our culture, but it came from this. It's better to give than to receive. But I do love receiving gifts, I must say that. But have you ever been someone who gives to others? When our kids, I have three children that are in high school, and growing up, we would give them money to give to others. And it was always amazing to me to see how excited they got, and they still do, to give to others. And when they finally were able to have money of their own, so to speak, that they could use to give to others, it lit them up. And you can see them getting more excited about that. And it's a joyful part, like, than to receive. And it was a joyful part of me as a parent to watch them be so excited about that. There's something about it that kind of unlocks our hearts. And so I want us to learn how to be irrationally generous. And I want to lead us to do this, so that we will lead the way with irrational generosity, a crazy word, because we truly believe it's more blessed to give than receive. And like I've mentioned already, this is not just about money. This was Paul's mindset. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, understood these teachings and encouraged others to do this. But when we learn to live this way, it's life-giving. It is life-giving to others. But the beauty is, it's life-giving to yourself. It changes your heart. It changes how you experience life with others, how you see others, how you approach problems in the world and in your life. In the beginning of our church, we were trying to be part of the street fair that happens in September up on Newark Ave in the pedestrian plaza, and it's a massive event. There's tents everywhere and all these things happening, and so we were like, hey, we'd love to get a tent, hand out some things, and just kind of be there. So we engaged them, and they came to us and were like, no, you can't do this. We don't allow religious organizations to be part of this. And so my reply was, okay, I get that. Like, the church doesn't always have a great reputation in how it engages the world, and so I understand that. But do you need any help? My reply to them was, do you have any things that are, like, this is a huge event. They were a young, newer organization. It's the downtown, the business district. It's now grown quite a bit. It's like, do you guys actually need help? And they were like, wait, what? And, I mean, we came to them and said, seriously, I'm sure it's a lot to do. And they were like, yeah, we need lots of help. And they're like, we're preparing these vendor bags. We're just kind of overloaded, and we need to get these materials together, and then we need help on the day of getting them to the vendors and all this stuff. And we were like, great, we'd love to help with that. And so we did that. We had a team from our church join them in getting these bags together, and then on the day of getting them to the vendors. And it just started this great relationship where over the years we would serve them every single year. And we started running ticket booths. We would deal with vendor check-in, and they would be mad about different things. And we loved serving them. They eventually were like, you know what? You can have a tent. And we were like, okay. And it's just amazing how when we are generous, when we love others, it's not just trying to get something. We were like, okay, we don't need to do this. We're fine. But we care about you. And we're loving them as Christ has loved us. Eventually, gave us an award. I'm not kidding. I couldn't find it this week. It's somewhere in storage. We moved our office, and so it's somewhere in there. Anyway, how crazy is this? It was this, where they went from, no, you can't have a tent because you're religious, to, we're going to give you an award. That's irrational. It's irrational. And we have a great relationship with them still. We did simple service where we handed out chocolate and granola bars at the pass station. And last December, we got this email, cold turkey out of the blue. And it says this, Dear Downtown Community Church, I'm writing to express my gratitude for your warm gesture of distributing chocolate last night at Grove Street Pass Station. It's very well written, by the way. I was having a bad day. Although I may not have appeared very cheerful when I approached, the kind lady and gentleman still extended me the chocolate. Thank you very much for the chocolate. I ate it on my way home, and it really brightened my day. Wish you a happy holiday season. God bless you. Best wishes. That lit us up. We love engaging in our community, loving others, because it is not easy to live in the city. There's a lot going on. And so we want to learn to follow Christ's example in how to do this. Well, Paul encourages the early churches to do the same, and he writes a letter to the church in Corinth. And as he's talking about this with them, he mentions another church from another city. And it's unbelievable about what he describes. This is found in 2 Corinthians 8, and here's what it says. It says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. This is a wild statement. That in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. It's an amazing statement. They were going through a lot. It was not easy. He says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. So they decided this. This is their choice. And entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Paul was taking up a collection. It was a multi-year effort to impact the greater church in the region. And he had been working as a vision to collect this big offering for others to help other churches. And so they are going around, and they were beyond excited to do this. It says they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. So the people in Macedonia, they were very, very poor. You know, a phrase that we might use in culture would be they were dirt poor. They were very poor, and yet they were able to give abundantly. So how could those with very little give so much? Well, this is the upside-down reverse kingdom that we see God engaging us with. There's a story of the widow's mite that we might get to in future weeks, where someone gave everything they had and it was so much less than others, and she was looked down upon. Yet Christ looked at her and said, she has given the most. It is this overflowing desire out of their hearts, and it speaks of a joy that they couldn't wait to do, that in the midst of poverty, they were joyful. So how can this happen? Well, it's about a mindset. It's about a mindset that for many of us, we say, I don't have enough money. And there's a really good chance, no matter where you're at in the perspective today, whether you're the person that's longing for a bank account to exist versus someone who needs more, like we always say, I don't have enough. Well, this is a mindset. So not enough is not an amount of money, even though we say that it is. It is a mindset that we have, that you and I have. I have that. I many times throughout the year, every year, I will think in my heart and maybe even say out loud to others, I do not have enough. But myself 10 years ago would look at me and say, you have enough. You've did it. Like 10 years ago would say, if you had that amount, then you would be good. But my current self would look back at my 10 back year, you know, whatever you say that person is in the past, and say, but you don't know how much more rent you're ever going to pay now. You know, like all these things that are happening, and it's like the game has been moved, and so we constantly feel this way. But this is a mindset that you and I choose. And there are examples like the Macedonian church that turn this on its head to say, no, no, we have enough. And we can be joyful in that. So this is the irrational generosity, but the mindset. And God's plan is to use us, to use you to meet the needs of others. And there is great joy that comes from living this way. And so today I want to talk about three things. We'll quickly go through them, how we need to change how we think, to move our mindset, and how we think about our money. And this is something that you decide to do, but you need to understand that this is about your heart, your joy for others. And you might say, well, I'd love to have teaching on how to live my Christian life and all these other things. And I would say this is a crucial part of this because it is about how we engage our God, how we understand what he's leading us to do. And it's about our heart and hearing from him and loving others. So we need to move our mindset. This is key. So the first one is this. We want to move from not enough to I have more than enough. To not enough to I have more than enough. That God has provided and I can trust him with this and he is going to use it. This changes our heart. When you find yourself saying these words, I don't have enough, it's a place to seek wisdom and say, no, I can trust God. I have more than enough. Irrational generosity. What is that? Well, irrational generosity is generosity that doesn't make sense. And when Jesus engaged us with this, it was always about your heart. Are you okay? Now, we talk about giving to others in the community and our church engaging, and you might say, well, it's easier for you to make those statements when it's not your money. It's not like this is the church doing this and engaging different things. And you would say, well, it's easier to give when it's not your money. Is that true? I mean, I think that's a good point that people make. Like, yeah, if it's not my money, like if you've got a budget for your company, yeah, you'll spend it. This is why the government loves to waste our money. It's not theirs. They just like, all right, we'll buy things that are irrational. Like, so, yeah, so I think it's an interesting point. In fact, I think that's a great point to make. I think it's true. It is. It's easier to give when it's not your money. And here's the truth. It's not our money. As Christ followers, we believe that it is all from God. We serve a God who is generous and provides for us. And for us, everything that we have is from him. It's not ours. It was not ours to begin with. God's entire position is generosity. That he is only in the place of giving out. He does not need anything from us. So anything that we receive from him is coming from him. It is a gift. Love that we experience in the world, the life that we experience, he has given it to us. He breathed life into us. We used to sing a song at DCC. It said, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. And I love that image that in the beginning, he breathed life into us, and it's the only reason we have it. And so we love these things. We're like, all right, God, we'll take the life that you've given us, the love you've given us, all these things, and then we're just going to take it and run and be like, just like we did it ourselves. If you're a parent, you see this. Like, you provide all these things, and they act like they own it. Like, they did all the work to get there and do it. We have no problem with that, and we are the same. So it's important for you and I to kind of stop and reflect and think about, where did this really come from? Who gave us our abilities, our incredibly complex brains? It's, you've got to have faith at some point, watching the world spin while it spins in orbit, and how huge the planets are, and then how detailed our brains are. It's amazing. And what he's given us. It's not ours. A big part of my story, our story here in Jersey City, in 2012, Hurricane Sandy hit and direct hit on Jersey City and Manhattan, and many of you were here and have stories to share, and all of downtown was flooded. We had some heavy rain this week, and maybe your Instagram or whatever feed was showing all these epic things happening in a couple of corners here downtown, and basements have water in them. And Sandy was like all of downtown. So where we're at right now would have been underwater the day after. Our apartment was in one of those areas. We lived on the garden level, and it flooded to the ceiling. We lost everything. And what we experienced after that was unbelievable. Church, we were part of a church in Manhattan. They began to share our stories along with many other people's stories. And they shared our P.O. box, and it just got out there. And all of a sudden, churches from all over the country started giving. And I'm not joking. For weeks, in fact, one check came a year later because it got lost in the system. It was wild. But we just started receiving check after check in our P.O. box. And people were incredibly generous in a way that we were able to begin to impact others. We had a lot of financial needs. But in my apartment right now, there are people that gave us tangible things. There are things that remind me of this generosity even now. Our bed frame was given to us. Our kitchen table that we sit on was given to us by others. I was able to buy a TV with the money we received, and we still have that. I bought a good TV. But people were generous. We were able to begin to give money to others, and because we had experienced that, people trusted us to say, hey, we understand what you're going through, and we know what you need. And we were able to give money to a single mom who replaced the furniture for her daughter. There were just all these epic things. It drew us closer to our community. And I've never experienced generosity like that. It was just from everywhere. And if I think about this, my entire existence here in Jersey City is based on others' generosity. And then our church is here today because of hundreds who have come before us, and then those of you who are with us now that are giving weekly and monthly. Many of you are very generous, and God is using you to continue this legacy, and we want to be good stewards of this. And we are thankful for you. God is using you in a huge way. And we want to pause and just look to God and say, it is He who did this. And when you experience that, it's amazing. And we want to learn to pause and reflect upon Him. In 1 Chronicles, in the Old Testament scriptures, they've been raising money to build a temple, and they have been pursuing God in this, and they were finally there. They were at it, and King David was leading them, and he says this. This is 1 Chronicles 29. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Listen to this phrase. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. It's wild to think about. We're just giving back to you what you've given to us. And when we really understand this, it changes our mindset, and it becomes a joy. And it pulls you away from greed, and it pulls you away from anger and discontentment. And so the second thing we want to do is to change our mindset, move our mindset from this is my resource to it's God's resource. It is not mine, it's yours. Just stop and think about that. Even if you don't believe in God or follow Him, like someone has given this, right? Somebody's worked for this, and it changes our heart to a heart of gratitude. Say, this is not mine, this is yours. And it's important that we move our mindset to this. And suddenly, how you view everything changes because you are now a steward of what He's given you. You wouldn't believe it, but Jesus talked about money a lot. And stewardship is a big part of that. Some of us have been given little, and some of us have been given a lot. And I've watched over decades, several decades now as a pastor. I know I look really young. But to see others who give so much out of the little they have, and I'm humbled by that. And I see them stewarding the money that they can see it in their heart and their joy that they understand it's not theirs. Money does not have control of them. We are simply managers. And then We're grateful he's given it to us, and we giving back to him, we say, we are recognizing that you are the one who's done this. Not just, I want to feel good about myself in the moment. No, that this is yours for you to use. And if you give to God, you don't lose it. You don't lose it. He's using that in a great way. And we've talked about our theme this year is that he pursues us and he sends us out. God is pursuing you in your heart, that he wants you to come back to him. And then when we find him, he sends us out. He begins to use you in a purposeful way, that in this city, in this time, in the job that you have, and the gifts that you've been given, and the challenges that you are experiencing. We talk about these parenting conversations. We talk about challenges that we face, and our kids are getting punched, and that happens a lot. Or your kid's the one punching. What do you do? And we begin to engage in relationship, and God uses the challenges to bring us to himself and allows us to give to others, and there's a joy in this. Let him do that. Change the way that you think, because he wants to use you. And then that helps us to take the steps. You say, okay, I get this, but I don't think I can do this. Well, this is about your time, your talents, and your money. And so the third thing is this. We're going to move our mindset from I'll give when the economy's okay. I'll give when I'm out of debt. I'll give when inflation goes down. I'll give when percentage points are where I need it to be. When I get my credit card points, I'll give when to no, I'll give now. Because it's his, it's not mine. And here's the amazing thing. Studies prove this, that when you begin to give, you actually manage your money better and you begin to get out of debt faster. You don't have to be religious. Studies have shown this and proven this, that those who give first out of their lifestyle invest better, save more, and get out of debt quicker. Isn't that wild? It's almost like our mindset changes. So we want to learn to follow God in this. And Paul's teaching will continue in 2 Corinthians. He says, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. So he's talking to Corinth, and it's obvious that they do excel in many things. He says, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel in this gracious act of giving. Paul knows how important it is to unlock our hearts. He says, I'm not commanding you to do this. He says, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing with the eagerness of other churches. He says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Isn't that amazing? Christ gave up heaven, made himself poor, gave up his life so that we might be rich. When we serve and love others out of his example, it changes lives. And what you'll find is it changes yours. And Paul goes on to say, it would be good for you. Here's my advice. Finish what you started. DCC, God has impacted us in great ways. We are blessed. I love that we get to be here in this facility. I'll talk with you more if you want about past facilities we've been in, underground, nightclubs, and craziness. This is amazing. We love that our rent goes to support Nimbus. It's on my list today to pay rent here. It's a privilege to do this because of you. Let's continue this legacy. But I want you to think about your heart and how God wants to use you, not just for now, but the future. And how the joy of giving. So this year, we're going to give to New City Kids. Our goal is $5,000. I'd love to give well again. But you need to have a plan to give to your church, a plan to give to others, and a plan to give your time. So this November, How are you going to give of your time and your treasure? What is your plan? Today, as you leave, you have these stickers. We want you to grab those stickers and think about serving on a team. Many of you have time, either during the week or on a Sunday. Some of you have a chance and an opportunity to serve. Some of you can look at your plan to give. I want you to think this month on your plan for the next year of how you will give financially to your church and to others. We want you to begin to do this. There are opportunities to make an impact. We have a great kids team. Our teachers upstairs are from all walks of life, whether they're single or married or have children. Like, God is using many to impact our kids' ministry. We have a production team. They're behind the scenes right now, making the screens work and the lights go on and off and all these different things. They are working hard behind the scenes. There's our hospitality team that loves others behind the scenes. Our greeters who love to be in front of other people or maybe simple service. There are ways for you to impact and love others. Our goal is to love well. How will you make an impact this year? We look at what has happened before us, and we know that God is working for the years ahead. So let's continue what God has started in your own life and in others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your words to us and your love for us. May we hear this as your pursuit of our hearts. I pray that we would experience the freedom and the joy of loving others well. From your example, we thank you for what you're going to do today and in the future. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.